for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the WABC Early News. It's Thursday. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Hope everybody is having a good week. Let's go on to some big news, all the news that's making headlines today.
This is the top five at five.
New Jersey's governor is staying put. At least that's what he's thinking, and that's what a lot of other people are thinking. After multiple news outlets declared him the winner, Democratic incumbent Phil Murphy took to the podium to tell the people of the Garden State this.
If you want to know what the future looks like, folks, come to New Jersey.
It was a tight one, so much so that Republican contender Jack Cittarelli is refusing to concede this morning. He says calling the squeaker of a race now is, quote, irresponsible. We will keep you updated.
Rust Film Armorer says someone may have put a bullet in the gun. The woman in charge of weapons on the movie set where actor Alec Baldwin fatally shot cinematographer Helena Hutchins said yesterday that she had inspected the gun Baldwin shot, but doesn't know how a live bullet ended up inside. The statement issued by one of her lawyers states that she inspected the rounds before handing the gun to the assistant director by spinning the cylinder and showing him all the rounds and then handing him the weapon. It is a real mystery.
Just hours after the CDC gave the green light to allow kids ages 5 to 11 to get vaccinated, Harvard Hospital in Connecticut became the first to dole out those jabs. Those who do get vaccinated will only be given a kid-sized dose. That's about a third of the adult version. Right now, Pfizer is the only company approved to provide the shots, and like mom and dad, kids will get two jabs 3 weeks apart. And speaking of, Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York City will start vaccinating kids today.
The dramatic drop in carbon dioxide emissions from the pandemic lockdown has pretty much disappeared in a puff of coal-fired smoke, much of it from China. That's according to a new scientific study. Group of scientists who track heat-trapping gases that cause climate change said the first 9 months of this year put emissions a tad under 2019 levels. They estimate that in 2021, the world will have spewed 36.4 billion metric tons of carbon dioxide compared to 36.7 billion metric tons 2 years ago.
The nation's highest court heard oral arguments Wednesday on a centuries-old English gun law that could have far-reaching implications. The law basically bans people in New York from carrying concealed weapons without proper cause. Seven other states, including California, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Rhode Island, have similar laws. Until earlier this century, the Second Amendment had been interpreted by the courts as applying to a well-regarded militia as opposed to an individual's right to own guns. But the late Justice Antonin Scalia successfully argued the Second Amendment established a pre-existing right brought over from England to the American colony. So yesterday's discussion actually could signal the end of those restrictive gun laws, signaling that it will rule against limits on concealed carry because it goes against the Second Amendment's core right of self-defense. What? Yes, it is. Tease time, Frank. We've got sports coming up. We have traffic and weather, and also a tragic coincidence for the residents of one of my favorite cities. I'm going to tell you about that in today's History Hit. But first, here are some of the other stories that are making news this morning.
What's trending?
What's trending around the nation, starting right here in New York State. An Albany area teenager who claimed that he found a sewing needle in his Twix bar, busted. The 14-year-old admitted that he lied to East Greenbush police after his dad filed a complaint, prompting officials to issue a warning about possibly tainted candy. This was on this past Monday. The kid, though, says he got the idea from TikTok and thought it would just be funny. He's been charged with falsely reporting an incident, and he's on probation. And hide the kids, speaking of. SantaCon is coming back, New York City's annual drunk fest for charity, returning after a year's pause. The bash kicks off December 11th at 10 a.m. Just, again, really, hide the children. It is never a pleasant sight. Yeah. And more than 40 Senate Republicans have signed on to try and nullify President Biden's controversial vaccine mandate. This is the one on private companies with more than 100 employees. Senator Mike Braun of Indiana is heading up that effort. He said Wednesday that he's going to use the Congressional Review Act, which is the official process for Congress to get rid of an executive branch rule. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley joined the fight yesterday. He says each company is unique, and since some are still struggling post-pandemic, this adds a lot of undue burden.
Well, let me tell you what's trending around the world. Some interesting news for new moms. And as the father of a child-to-be, I read this with great interest. Researchers found that women who had COVID while they were pregnant developed antibodies in their breast milk, which were then passed on to their babies. Antibodies, of course, fight the virus, so that's a good thing. And in fact, the data also found newborns who were breastfed by moms who'd had COVID had more antibodies than those who were given only formula. Other studies have found breast milk has inherent virus fight properties. And MTG is back at it again.
No, I'm nothing. Go ahead. Sorry.
With the offensive Nazi talk. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wrote this script, so you don't have to read it if you don't want
to. Oh, okay. All right. Let me hold off on that,
okay,
then, if you would. Okay.
Want me to read
I wasn't,
it?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you put that in or Molly did.
No, I did.
We're back
I put
to
that...
a communal news writing
right,
environment,
right.
So that confused me. But well, please,
I don't know, because,
yeah,
you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, some people love her, some people hate her. Some people find the when she uses the term Nazi or Holocaust, they find it offensive. So she came under fire for comparing mask mandates to the Holocaust, as you know. So the confrontational Georgia Republican said this on Steve Bannon's show.
They are ruining our country. These vaccine Nazis. And I'm sorry, I know I'm using the word Nazi and everybody gets mad when I say it, but that's exactly what they are.
Well, I think people are just sort of, you know, I think they're sort of numb to her using these terms. And you either, again, you love her or you hate her.
She really is the conservative AOC. Is that why she's being given the moniker MTG?
That's, well, I gave her that moniker.
I like that. Well, I'm asking you.
Not really. It's just easier than saying Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I used to enjoy when you would say AOC, yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me.
Perhaps the same could be done for MTG.
Yes, they both are just horrific. All right, from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today's going to be another nice day. We'll have a mix of clouds and sun during the morning. It'll probably be a bit more cloudy than it was yesterday, though. By the afternoon, a high of 52. Tomorrow, again, I said we're going to have a great day and things have not changed. Tomorrow and Saturday look really, really nice. Saturday in particular. Tomorrow we'll have 53 degrees with a big blob of sun. And Saturday will be up to 55 degrees with a big blob of sun. We'll have some clouds roll in on Sunday, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be too bad. It looks like maybe just a few clouds here and there, but we'll definitely see some sun. And then as we get into the work week next week, it looks pretty good. We'll get back up into the 60s, the mid-60s maybe by Tuesday, and lots of sun. Currently, the temperature right now in New York is 41 degrees.
The governor is changing her predecessor's plans for improving Penn Station. She's prioritizing improvements for commuters over the station's expansion, which was a cornerstone of former Governor Andrew Cuomo's plan. That means scaling back planned construction of new buildings in the area and instead focusing on renovations to the existing one. Governor Kathy Hochul spoke about this at Penn Station yesterday.
60% of the people who use Penn Station are New Yorkers. They're our taxpayers. They're our citizens. And so, given that they're the ones using it, I believe that they deserve a transformative experience as well. And that's why we're going to start focusing on the existing Penn Station.
And after 46 days of protests and a two-week hunger strike, yellow taxicab medallion owners are getting the financial relief that they've been asking for. The city's reached a deal with the lender and New York Taxi Worker Alliance. Now all loans will be restructured to max $170,000, capping debt monthly payments to around $1,100 for medallion owners who celebrated outside City Hall. And I know we have a lot of cab drivers that listen to the show on a daily basis. Good for you,
yep,
if you're listening. Absolutely. Tasty Cake is recalling cakes that could have tiny pieces of metal in them. The FDA published a notice from the company recalling some of the multi-pack cupcakes sold at stores in Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Washington, D.C., and West Virginia. Flowers Foods, the maker of Tasty Cake Goods, said the treats could have tiny fragments of metal mesh wire in them. So that's pretty frightening. That includes the plain chocolate cupcakes, the cream-filled chocolate cupcakes, as well as the buttercream iced variety, with sell-by dates ranging from December 14th through December 21st. So if you are a cupcake fan, be sure to check that label, check that sell-by date before indulging. In fact, if you have one of these Tasty Cake cupcakes, I would encourage you to just throw it out. Don't bother checking the date. I mean, why take a chance? All right. The governor of New Jersey did indeed thank voters, and we were speaking yesterday with David Wildstein, the editor of the New Jersey Globe. He said that there's some huge news for New Jersey Republicans, and it has nothing to do with the governor's race. It has to do with the state Senate president, Steve Sweeney. Now, Steve Sweeney is already the longest-serving New Jersey legislative leader in history, and it looks like, by all accounts, he has lost his bid for re-election. Now, the reason that's so significant is because, unlike the governor's position, where there are term limits, and if Phil Murphy is re-elected, there'll be an open seat in 4 years, there are no term limits for state Senate. Steve Sweeney could have served in that role for many years. So it is a tremendous feather in the cap of the Republicans if he has indeed been defeated. So we'll see what happens in that respect. The weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment is coming up in your Biz Buzz, and we'll tell you what the stock market did yesterday as well. And fans, were you a fan of the show Sex and the City?
No.
You weren't?
Okay. No. I watched it. I tried to watch it a few times. I just thought it
because
was
that was
awful.
All the buzz.
I know.
My mom loved it.
Oh God! Everybody in New York loved it.
Every huge.
Female friend of mine in New York loved it.
Well, if you're one of those female friends of Juliet's that loved it, fans of Sex and the City are now getting the chance to live like Carrie Bradshaw. Airbnb is renting out the character's New York apartment, and Juliet's going to tell you a little bit more about that a little later on. A Florida couple trying to fight the Church of Scientology is dealing with a legal setback. Federal judges this week sided with the church against a couple of former members who sued for over $400,000, alleging that they'd been defrauded. The church claimed the dispute could only be resolved in internal arbitration, and the three-judge panel agreed. The couple's lawyer told the Tampa Bay Times this means no former member can ever successfully sue the church because the courts won't hear the case. And the arbitration board is made up of Scientology members who would never rule against the church. Well, it's a
so
tough situation.
Crazy.
And a lot of the people that have left the Church of Scientology, they have compared it to a cult and described a lot of cult-like tendencies, not just what I mentioned there, but a number of other things.
Have you seen any of those shows with Leah Remini?
I interviewed her about it, and I did see it, yes, and I found it pretty alarming. But, you know, I've known other Scientologists over the years, and they say that that's not true, what she's claiming. So I don't know what to believe, but a lot of these accusations are pretty frightening, you'd think. So
quite frightening.
Yeah,
actually.
And New York City is working to protect coastal neighborhoods following record flooding over the summer. The East Side Coastal Resiliency Project is one plan that would build a nearly 2.5 mile flood protection system stretching between Montgomery Street and East 25th Street. Some critics say the plan would interrupt the East River Park and want to see alternative options. Meantime, Staten Island is already combating coastal erosion, which has become an even bigger issue since Hurricane Sandy. All right, 5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza. What's happening, Matt?
A lot in terms of basketball, Frank. Good morning, everybody. Let's see what's happening. Miles Turner scored 25 points, hitting a career high of 7 of 10 three-pointers, and had 13 rebounds in the Indiana Pacers' 111-98 victory over the New York Knicks last night. Turner scored the first 8 points of the game, and the Pacers never trailed. Caris LeVert added 21 points for Indiana. Conversely, Kevin Durant scored 32 points and led the spurt that broke open the game late in the third quarter, and the Brooklyn Nets beat the Atlanta Hawks 117-108 last night for their third straight victory. Durant had 13 points and a 24 run to end the third that turned a tie game into a 16-point Nets lead going into the fourth. He added 7 rebounds and 5 assists overall. That's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza. Mama, if you're listening, happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's your mother's
birthday? What is her name?
Yeah. Her name is Margaret.
Margaret, happy birthday. Do you call her Madge?
We call her Maggie.
Well,
Maggie.
You don't call her mom or mother?
No,
or
I do call her mom, of course, yes.
Well, happy birthday, Maggie, Madge, mom, mother. whatever your name is.
What are you doing for your mother on her birthday today, man?
We're doing something on Friday.
Oh, okay.
We're going to go out to another restaurant on Friday.
Well, if Juliet plays this game that I got her, Splendor, between now and then, you should think of that as a potential birthday gift.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Roger, yes.
Anything having to do with Italy, I'm happy
Noted.
One of the listeners emailed asking how your Italian is, if you speak Italian.
I'm starting to speak it much better.
Do you have are you learning just through immersion, or you have a specific program?
Oh, I do Duolingo.
What's that, Duolingo?
Which is one of these, it's an app. I would do it constantly when I was taking the train to and from work, so I haven't been doing that a lot lately. But it was very helpful. It's incredibly helpful, though, to be there and, yes, like immersed in the language. You kind of can't help it.
By the way, my Uncle John wanted to thank you for your restaurant recommendations when he was in Italy.
He went to Aroma, overlooks a beautiful Michelin-starred restaurant that overlooks the Colosseum. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to have a nice day today. We'll have sunshine early, followed by some clouds later on this afternoon with a high of 51 degrees. Tomorrow and Saturday look absolutely fantastic. It's going to be chilly in the low 50s, but we'll still have a lot of sun. Sunday, we'll have some clouds roll in. We'll get a little bit warmer into the mid-50s or so. By Monday, we're going to have lots of sun and 62 degrees. So that's kind of nice. Right now in Manhattan, the temperature is 41 degrees, and I think it is time now to go back in time.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
On this day, November 4th, 1333. This was a long, long time ago.
I'll say.
The Arno River in Florence overflows, killing more than 3,000 people. You know, the Arno is that small river that goes through the city of Florence. The Ponte Vecchio, the famous bridge, goes over it. A local historian and diplomat named Giovanni Villani chronicled the disaster. He said the famed Ponte Vecchio bridge was simply swept away because huge logs became clogged around it, sending the rushing waters of the river leaping over the bridge's famed arches, and that just came crashing down. And frighteningly enough, this is really crazy. I didn't know this. On November 4th, 1966, exactly 633 years later, to the day of that original flood, the Arno overflowed again, killing 101 people and destroying millions of art masterpieces and rare books. And I just think that is so interesting.
Absolutely.
Like, what a coincidence. And, and the threes and the sixes. Ooh, it's like, it's amazing it wasn't 666. And also, back in 1529 on this day, the English Cardinal Thomas Wolsey is arrested on charges of treason. He was King Henry's VIII's longtime trusted advisor, but he lost that confidence in Wolsey when Wolsey couldn't help secure an annulment of Henry's marriage to Catherine of Aragon with the Pope, so Henry could marry his mistress, Anne Boleyn.
I remember it didn't work out too well for Mr. Wolsey, clearly.
It didn't. Well, he actually died on the way to go have to deal with his treason trial.
Lucky break, I suppose.
Yeah, and well, he didn't get his head lopped off, so.
All right. Well, let me tell you about some other
story. Didn't end so well for Anne Boleyn either.
No. Well,
or a couple of the other ladies.
Tragic all the way around. Let me tell you about some other stories that are making news. You're going to hear from Matt Sapienza with sports at 5:45. But the Giants, the New York football Giants, are confirming 4 coronavirus cases among players and coaches. This comes after 13 members of the organization originally tested positive yesterday. They originally took rapid tests, but that number was reduced to 1 once PCR tests were administered. Coach Joe Judge says this year is different than the beginning of the pandemic, and players are going about life. So wishing the best of luck for them. Thankfully, it doesn't appear too serious.
Really? And a decades-old cold case has just turned red hot again. A Queens man was charged yesterday with killing 81-year-old World War I vet George Seitz, who had left his Queens home to get a haircut back in 1976 and never returned. 74-year-old Martin Malta is accused of murdering Seitz, whose remains were found back in 2019 in the backyard of a house in Richmond Hills.
Mm.
Weird story.
I'll say more guest hosts will be filling in on the Wendy Williams show. According to show producers, the 57-year-old host is still dealing with health issues and won't be back for the month of November. Some of the guest hosts this month include actor Michael Rapaport, comedian Bill Bellamy, and Jerry Springer. Williams, who grew up in Jersey and is rumored to be a big fan of this show as well, has not appeared on the show since its season 13 premiere. So we wish her a speedy recovery.
Yes, nobody can replace Wendy. She is just classic. She replaced me, by the way. Well, her show replaced our show when our show was canceled, the Mike and Juliet show. But I love her. I love her nonetheless. She's awesome. She's so talented. And all the success that she has is because of the fact that she is so talented. Teen climate queen Greta Thunberg got a bit of flack for her not so squeaky clean rants against world leaders during this week's COP26 summit in Glasgow. Remember this?
You can shove your climate crisis up your arse. You can shove your climate crisis up your arse.
Oh, Greta. Well, now Thunberg promises anytime she curses, she'll follow it up with something nice. She made the vow in a tweet sent out to her 5 million Twitter followers, including me. I'm very happy to hear that, Greta, although I do appreciate a gal with a salty mouth, I have to say.
And starting today, customers across New Jersey will have to ask for plastic straws at coffee shops and restaurants. You'll still be able to buy packages of straws and prepackaged beverages that come with a straw, like juice boxes. It's part of the state's efforts to ban all single-use plastic items, like takeout bags and containers. New York City implemented a similar ban last week. I have to say, until I saw this story, I did not even know that New York implemented that ban on plastic straws.
I hate plastic straws. I mean, I like them because they're convenient, but I hate them for what they do to the oceans.
I am with you. I also cannot stop chewing them. If you ever see a plastic straw, I chew it like, I don't know, there's no tomorrow.
A pacifier. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe there's a little bit of something, a little psychology that we need to go through. Exactly. I didn't want to say that, but, you know, thank you for doing that. It was fun while it lasted. If you were one of the folks who had their home snatched up by the real estate app Zillow, consider yourself lucky. The company announced it is ending its Zillow Offers business, which basically buys and flips homes, after its iBuying algorithm failed to live up to expectations. I mean, they were expecting like billions and they just didn't make it.
A new study is linking poor mental health with higher coronavirus rates. Researchers at Yale University looked at mental health levels across the U.S. and found those who struggled with poor mental health before the pandemic were more likely to develop COVID-19. Fascinating. The study found that increases in stress, depression, and emotional problems in 2019 were connected to higher coronavirus rates in 2020. The research suggests the COVID pandemic may not have caused new mental health problems, but rather revealed previous issues.
I guess Peter King is filling in for Sid because I just saw that wonderful person
walk by.
And
today's
studio.
A good day
Love
because
him.
A lot of big elections on Long Island. I'm eager to get his take on them.
Yeah, we'll be talking about some of the other elections around the country a little bit later on in the show. But really quickly, another scandal involving the British royal family and two of our own countries, I guess you could say, royal families or iconic political dynasties. Catherine Oxenberg, who happens to be a cousin of the British royal family, including the lascivious Lothario Prince Andrew, Jeffrey Epstein's pal, has a new book out. She does. It's called Trash, Encounters with Ghislaine Maxwell. It's about Oxenberg's myriad encounters with the alleged lady pedophile, including at the 1990 wedding of former embattled Governor Andrew Cuomo and his then wife, Carrie Kennedy.
Of course.
So Ghislaine Maxwell was at that wedding. Oxenberg also claims that Maxwell had sex with none other than the late JFK Jr. What? Presumably before he was married and while Maxwell was still known for simply just being a London socialite and not a disgusting piece of you know what. Hey, it's 5:26. You know what that means.
It's the WABC Early News Entertainment.
Yeah, with her proverbial muzzle finally removed, Britney Spears is making the most of her newfound freedom from conservatorship, speaking out against anyone she deems a jailer, including her mom, Lynn. This is really surprising to me. The pop star posted on Instagram that it was actually mom who came up with the idea of a conservatorship. And not to leave dad out of her firing line, Britney says the reason that it's her mom and not her dad is because her dad isn't smart enough to have come up with the concept himself. And it's an ugly, ugly situation for a former One Direction heartthrob, Zayn Malik, and his equally successful supermodel partner, Gigi Hadid. The two genetically blessed celebs got together after shooting a music video together a few years back, and recently had a baby. But apparently Gigi's mom, former Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Yolanda Hadid, and Malik, Gigi's boyfriend, got together in a physical confrontation. He apparently hit Yolanda Hadid. Malik was charged with 4 counts of harassment. He pled not guilty, but understandably, the superstar couple themselves, Gigi and Zayn, are reportedly kaput now, which is sad because they have a little baby.
That is sad.
Yeah.
That is sad.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, 51 degrees and sun in the morning today, followed by some clouds in the afternoon. Friday and Saturday look great. Lots of sun. 52 degrees on Friday, 54 degrees for a high on Saturday. And for the marathon day on Sunday, we're looking at a 55-degree temperature by the afternoon with partly cloudy skies. So you have sun and some clouds. I don't know. Is that prime running weather?
I think as long as it's not a lot of rain and a lot of wind,
right.
I think that's pretty good marathon weather.
Okay.
I mean,
well,
the reason they do it in November is they're not expecting it to be 70, 80, 90 degrees. So it sounds like it's not going to be too windy,
but
and there won't be too much rain.
If these people train in that horrifically hot weather, I don't understand.
Neither do my father's run this marathon, and I think Sid's wife's run this marathon like 22 times or something.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get how people can do that to their bodies. I'm amazed by those people. They're
same.
Freaks of nature to me.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so weak. I couldn't run a half a mile. Coming up in Jet Set Juliet, I'm going to tell you about you have to plan for starting Monday if you're planning on traveling. Things are going to change big time. Also, Biz Buzz is coming up. Any good highlights from
Oh, yeah. Walmart and Sam's Club's pharmacies are soon going to be places where you can get the COVID vaccine.
Oh, cool.
And some interesting news in terms of Starbucks. They are bringing back something that was a
yes.
fan favorite back in the
Yes,
day.
And they're creating something new, too. All of that and your top five at 5:30 coming up.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, Anthony. It's always good to hear your voice. Mm. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank's going to join me in a second. But first, we've got some headlines to get to.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
5:30, actually. New Jersey's governor staying put after multiple news outlets declared him the winner. Democratic incumbent Phil Murphy took to the podium last night to tell the people of the Garden State this.
If you want to know what the future looks like, folks, come to New Jersey. If you want to understand where America is heading, look to New Jersey.
And it was a tight one, so much so that Republican contender Jack Cittarelli is refusing to concede this morning. He says calling the squeaker of a race now is, quote, irresponsible. We're going to keep you updated on that.
The NFL is investigating if Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers violated the league's COVID-19 protocols. Rodgers tested positive on Wednesday and is reportedly not considered fully vaccinated by NFL standards. The quarterback will miss Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and according to league protocol, isn't eligible to play until November 13th. The NFL's issued a statement saying the league's aware of the situation in Green Bay and will review the matter with the Packers.
Just hours after the CDC gave the green light to allow kids ages 5 to 11 to get vaccinated, Hartford Hospital in Connecticut became the first to dole out the jabs. Those who do get vaccinated will only be given a kid-sized dose, since they're kids, about a third of the adult version. Right now, Pfizer is the only company approved to provide the shots. And like mom and dad, kids will get 2 jabs 3 weeks apart. Speaking of, Mayor Bill de Blasio says New York City will start vaccinating kids today.
It looks like Helena Hutchins' family is gearing up to file a wrongful death suit. TMZ reporting that the late cinematographer's husband recently hired an L.A.-based firm that specializes in personal injury and wrongful death litigation. The actor Alec Baldwin accidentally fatally shot Hutchins while on the set of the movie Rust in New Mexico last month. Authorities are trying to figure out how Baldwin's pop gun had a real bullet in it. No charges have yet been filed.
You know, that just all I can think of is that somebody knew Baldwin was going to use that gun. And he is so politically divisive,
right.
It makes me wonder,
me
was
too.
That the reason?
Me too. Was this intentional on someone's part? In fact, the day this story broke, I was taking calls from listeners. Several of them had that very same theory, that this bullet was planted in this gun.
Well, I mean, how else did it get there? You don't normally have bullets.
Well, that,
bullets on
that is precisely what the armorer is saying.
Yeah, that's crazy. Really quickly, the nation's highest court heard oral arguments yesterday on a centuries-old English gun law. It was a law based on English law that could have far-reaching implications. The law bans people in New York from carrying concealed weapons without, quote, proper cause. Seven other states, including New Jersey, have similar laws. Yesterday's discussion may signal the end of those restrictive gun laws, the court signaling that it will rule against limits on concealed carry because it goes against the Second Amendment's core right of self-defense. And those are your top five at 5:30. Let's get to some more stories now. This is an interesting one. A 98-year-old U.S. military veteran's body was dissected in front of a live audience, most of whom paid up to $500 to watch the grotesque event, which took place in a Portland hotel ballroom last month. Here's the problem, though. The late David Saunders' wife, Elsie, admits, yeah, I agreed to donate my husband's body to science, and he was cool with that, too, but not for this. Thanks to some major backlash and perhaps threats of a lawsuit, organizers of the macabre event canceled a similar one due to take place a couple weeks later on Halloween. Isn't that lovely? And a zip line worker, this is heartbreaking. A zip line worker in California is being hailed a hero. Wait till you hear this story, Frank. It is so tragic. Joaquin Romero was working at La Jolla Zip Zoom Zipline just north of San Diego Saturday when a woman that he was harnessing slid out. He grabbed her, but then he got pulled out too. So they were kind of both there hanging 100 feet off the ground. Observers say the 34-year-old feared that his extra weight would cause them both to fall. So he let go.
Oh.
Yep. Sacrificing himself to save the woman, crashing to the ground. He was airlifted to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead the next day.
Oh, that is
God. Yeah. And the woman is reportedly doing okay. How sad is that?
I cannot imagine. Thousands of airmen are missing a deadline to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. The Air Force says nearly 8,500 active duty members didn't receive any of the required shots ahead of Tuesday's deadline. Of those, nearly 5,000 asked for a religious exemption. More than 2,700 haven't started the process, and 800 refused to roll up their sleeves. The Air Force had the earliest deadline of all the service branches. Nearly 96% of all active duty airmen have been fully vaccinated.
And also in health news that could change the lives of every one of you listening right now and your friends and your family. This is incredible. This actually should be the lead story, in my opinion. I don't know why I didn't do it. A new blood test is set to hit the market soon, including in our area. It's called the Galleri test, and it can detect 50 types of cancer. All it requires is two vials of your blood, which are immediately sent to a lab. Results come back within 10 days. Experts say this is a game changer, and it'll help people detect cancer much earlier than they normally would. The Mayo Clinic is set to roll it out by the end of the year, including here in New York.
That's
wonderful. That is just...
That is a game changer.
That gives me chills.
Absolutely.
From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today we're going to have sunshine in the morning, followed by some clouds in the afternoon with a high of just 51 degrees. It'll be cool. Cool today. Tomorrow, also very cool, but really nice and sunny. Lots of sun tomorrow. Also sunny Saturday with a high of 54 degrees. We'll have Friday, we're going to have 52. So it's going to warm up a little bit as we get closer into the depth of the weekend. And by Sunday on Marathon Day, we'll get up to about 55 degrees for a high with partly cloudy skies, which means that we will see some sun. And I don't see much wind report. So looks like it's going to be a great day for the runners. Currently right now in New York City, it is, Frank, hold on a sec, 41 degrees.
Biz Buzz.
The opening bell rings this morning after all three major indexes closed out Wednesday. You can already finish my sentence. At record highs. Yet again, new stock market records. It came after the Federal Reserve announced its plan to begin allowing down monthly bond purchases that were implemented during the pandemic. The central bank said price increases have been more rapid than expected, but they still view the rising prices as transitory. Meantime, Bed Bath & Beyond saw its shares rise after announcing a partnership with Kroger, while Zillow, as you heard from Juliet earlier, fell by about 23%. 8% after it announced it will close its home buying and flipping business. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones gained 104 points, the S&P 500 jumped almost 30 points, and the NASDAQ rose by almost 160 points. Retail giant Walmart says it will start administering pediatric COVID vaccines at its stores and Sam Club's pharmacies later this week. And you asked for it, maybe you got it. Starbucks is rolling out new holiday cups today as the coffeehouse chain starts serving up holiday drinks, including its first non-dairy holiday offering. That's the new iced sugar cookie almond milk latte.
Oh.
You haven't tried it yet, have you?
No, it sounds good, though.
Returning holiday favorites include peppermint mocha, caramel creme brulee, latte, chestnut praline latte, and toasted white chocolate mocha, and of course, the Irish cream cold brew.
I like the way you say latte. Latte? It's like yesterday you said MAGA for MAGA.
Instead of MAGA. It looks like MAGA.
It's just funny.
Tuxedos.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
I mean, let's just, you name it. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank
Time
you.
Time now for your Jet Set Juliet. Jet Set Julietta travel report. So I got back from Italy, as you know, and despite both Venice and Florence being packed with visitors, my flights to and from Italy were pretty empty, I have to say. The reason is because, of course, Americans can visit foreign countries, but most foreign visitors can't visit us. At least not yet. Thank God. Thank God this Monday, November 8th, after nearly 2 long years, our country opens its doors once again to vaccinated international travelers. I'm so happy about this. I could cry. And I know many of you feel the same. You know, your friends, your family, your businesses. We've all been hit so hard by first Trump and then Biden's banning of international travel into the U.S. Understandably, I think it went a little bit too long in Biden's case. But again, Monday, it all changes. But you know the old saying, be careful what you wish for? Well, I have a feeling many of us are going to be saying that. The reason is we are going to see an immediate influx of visitors into this country from more than 30 countries across the globe. That means more people at the airport, more people at the train stations, ticket lines, Broadway shows, museums, restaurants. Please don't underestimate the chaos that will no doubt begin on Monday. If you're traveling out of the country, or even if you're traveling domestically, you are going to need to give yourself more time, particularly if you're flying. Airline and airport officials are going to be dealing with documents, not just from U.S. citizens, but from citizens from all over the world at all the same, the same time now. Keep that in mind. And it's not just international travel opening up that's leading to more tourists. Thanks to more people being vaccinated, vaccine mandates both here and abroad, the booster shots, and declining COVID numbers, traveler confidence is up. So that's going to get more people traveling. So here are four pieces of advice. Number one, be patient. Expect the worst. That way you're going to be pleasantly surprised if you don't run into drama every step of the way when you're traveling. Number two, if you can, try to check in online if you're flying. You may not be able to because of COVID paperwork screening, but if you can, definitely check in online ahead of time. Number three, give yourself a lot of travel time to and from the airport, the train stations, the tour meeting spot, the restaurant reservation. You don't want to screw up your vacation by being late to the game. Plan ahead. Number four, if at all possible, don't check a bag. Just carry on. Book a place with a washer or dryer, or just drop it off at a local dry cleaner or a fluff and fold. But I'm telling you, whether it's foreign or domestic flying, those bag drop-off lines at the airports are a beast, and they are going to get even worse starting on Monday. And number five, and this was crucial for us, join TSA PreCheck so you can fly past those long security lines here in the United States. Join Clear so you can fly past even the short TSA PreCheck lines at participating U.S. airports. By the way, it took us 8 minutes from the time we walked into the airport at JFK to the time that we loaded our bags onto the security screening belt. 8 minutes because we have Clear. Also, join Global Entry so you can fly through customs when you get back to the United States. It only took us 3 minutes to get through customs when we landed back in New York, when we finally got to the customs area. In summary, expect much longer lines and waiting time everywhere when you're traveling from the moment you leave your house to the moment you return. Also, just a couple things. The days of bargains are pretty much over. Not completely, but pretty much. More demand means more money we're going to have to fork over. And it's going to be even tougher as we head into the holiday season. As for what I'm hearing about Thanksgiving, roughly 3 in 10 Americans will be traveling over the Thanksgiving weekend. As far as the whole holiday season, so between Thanksgiving and early January, let's say, about 50% of us are going to be traveling, and most of those people will be driving. So if that's you and you want to rent a car, do it yesterday. And expect the roads to be packed, so leave early for your vacation and maybe late from your vacation if you can. One other area that you can still get a deal and that is really popping, and I predicted this would happen if you recall, river cruises. Oh, my Lord. My secret travel weapon has been revealed. People love river cruises. They're going to love them even more now. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you about a great, great new phenomenon happening with river cruises that will guarantee you very, very good rates and fewer exposure.
Cool.
A little exposure to COVID.
You are a big river cruise promoter.
I can't tell you how much I love
it. How many have you been on?
I've only gone on one.
Only one. And it was a lot better phenomenal. Than an ocean cruise, you think?
It's so much, it's different. It's different. Just, it's more, I felt it was more rewarding. Huh.
My mom's a big ocean cruise person.
Oh, I love the big
boats. I'm going to suggest that she try a river cruise. Do they have casinos on the river cruise boats?
No.
They don't?
No. So they're small. They only get like 100 to 150 people.
Get a couple of blackjack tables.
Well, yeah, you can bring a couple games in the room. Just have a little penthouse room.
All right, 5:45. Let's get a look at sports. Speaking of games, with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, guys, and good morning, everybody. Let's see what's happening in the wide world of sports. All basketball today. Miles Turner scored 25 points, hitting a career-high 7 of 10 three-pointers, and had 13 rebounds in the Indiana Pacers' 111-98 victory over the New York Knicks last night. Turner scored the first 8 points of the game, and the Pacers never trailed. Caris LeVert added 21 points for Indiana. Conversely, Kevin Durant scored 32 points and led the spurt that broke open the game late in the third quarter, and the Brooklyn Nets beat the Atlanta Hawks 117-108 for their third straight victory. Durant had 13 points and a 20-4 run toward the end of the third to tie a game into a 16-point Nets lead going into the fourth. He added 7 rebounds and 5 assists, and overall, Joe Harris made 6 three-pointers and scored 18 points. James Harden had 16 points and 11 assists, and the Nets finished 4-2 on their homestands. DeAndre Hunter made all 6 three-pointers and scored 26 points for the Hawks. Trae Young had 21 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds, but shot just 6 for 22. And that's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's WABC Sports.
Thank you, Matt.
You know, I don't know. I feel a little extra stressed today. And maybe that means that it's time for me to head over to Dolce Aesthetics and get a couple of needles in my face. Maybe that would make me feel better. You know, actually, pleasure is pain sometimes.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Mr. Announcer Man. WABC News time is 5:51. He helped lead a Major League Baseball team, but he will not be leading the people of Stamford, Connecticut. Former New York Mets manager Bobby Valentine lost his bid for mayor of Stamford. He blames, what else? The media for his loss. He claims, quote, lousy coverage. That's what he said. I got to tell you. That just seems crazy because it was a close one. He ran as an independent, which isn't easy, losing out by a hair to Democrat Caroline Simmons. So I think he did a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, I mean, in Connecticut, they have a history of electing independents. It's a little easier out there than it is in places like New York or New Jersey. But I agree with you. I mean, I don't see the local coverage. I'm a Bobby Valentine fan, and I know Pete King is. I'm sorry that he didn't win. I would have loved to have seen. I don't know anything about any of the issues in Stamford, but my only hope is that since he hasn't won, maybe he can come back and manage the Mets next year.
Oh, that's nice. What do you think, Peter King, who's joining us right now?
Yeah, actually, Bobby's a great guy. I've gotten to know him pretty well. My brother knows him very well. Now, Bobby's Bobby. I mean, he's controversial. He's High-spirited, and he made a great race.
He did make a great race.
I think it's
race.
The biggest turnout they ever had.
I'm not surprised. Maybe he'll run again.
He lose by 100, couple hundred votes.
Right? Something along those lines,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, maybe blaming the media wasn't the best tactic to use for next time around.
That's what you do now, right?
I guess so.
You can't blame the people counting the votes. Blame the attorney general or the media.
Exactly. It's always, I'll take responsibility. Also, the governor's race wasn't the only headline-making contest down in Virginia. A gun-toting former Marine, Winsome Sears, beat Democrat Hala Ayala, to become the first woman and first black woman lieutenant governor in state history. Sears was actually born in Jamaica. She is an ardent Trump supporter. She has repeatedly defended him after... When he made comments that some people found offensive, she was right there supporting him. On the flip side, up in Massachusetts, progressive Michelle Wu is also making history. She is now the first woman and person of color to be elected mayor of Boston, which is a pretty big deal. Wu is Asian American. She won 63% of the vote, defeating another woman of color, Anissa Saibi George, the win breaking a 199-year streak of white male leadership.
Wow.
Yeah. Who knew?
Women of color be elected on the Republican line. Aren't we racist?
Yes, apparently all Republicans are racist now.
Let's check in with Congressman Peter King. He's the co-host today of the Bernie and Sid show.
Hi, Kong.
So how do you like doing these hours? How have you adjusted?
That's tough. I give you credit. I don't know how you do it. Listen, it's a great job to have, and but I tell you, it's getting up at 3:30. I don't know how you guys are up all night, right?
No, I'm not up all night. Frank is.
This is the end of my day. It's the beginning of Juliet's. That's where.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm up at. If I do the show from home, I'm up at 3:30 mm-hmm. or 4. If I do it from here, I'm up at 2:30.
Okay, so, I get up at 3:30 today, and it's
rough.
Now, getting used to it is that you go to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock, but I kept waking up every half hour thinking I'm...
9:30 or 10 o'clock. I go to bed. I get into bed at 6:30.
Oh, wow.
But I start
reading. Well, if you did this every day, you'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I read, but that, okay. For maybe an hour or so, but I go 10:30. Heck no. Yeah, you would have to... You would definitely need to,
Yeah, it's a different life.
It is. It's a different... Yeah.
But it's great being here. You deal with some crazy people like Frank. I mean, I keep running into Frank at different stages of my life.
Really? I got to hear more about this.
Best we move on.
By the way, our friend Vito won Staten Island.
I'm aware. Yeah. Resoundingly, a landslide for your former colleague, Vito Fisella. But let's talk Long Island. You've represented both Nassau and Suffolk. I think a lot of people were predicting that Ann Donnelly would win. In fact, you, while Juliet was in Italy, you made that prediction with me. And then I don't think a lot of people were predicting that the Republican running for DA in Suffolk, right. Ray Tierney, would beat Tim Sinney. But it was a red wave out there.
Yeah. First of all, Tim Sinney, I worked closely with him on MS-13 cases. He had a good record. Mm-hmm. No scandal. There was nothing. There was no issue really against him other than the traditional Republican Democratic issues. But that's usually not enough to beat an incumbent. If you had asked me a month ago who's the most guaranteed winner, I'd say Tim Sinney. And yet it wasn't even
really
close.
I was surprised by that.
It wasn't even close, yeah. And again, there was no scandal. There was nothing. There was no issue like in New York and Nassau. You could use the bail reform issue against Kaminsky because he was actually identified with it. But in Suffolk, I mean, Sinney was not a big advocate of it at all. Anyway, that was a surprise.
What was it then? What do you think it was?
I think it was this red wave. I think people were so angry at the Biden administration, and especially on the issue of law and order, and so they took it out on the DA. And I mean,
and everybody else.
Yeah, but I mean, especially on him. Which is really, you're right there, everybody else. I understand now that Suffolk GOP controls the county legislature. And in Nassau County, without getting into all the minutiae, but we won seats that we never even contemplated winning. We elected a woman from Great Neck. I don't think we ever elected anybody from Great Neck since the War of 1812. I mean, that is like, and she's an Ethiopian Jew who escaped Ethiopia, was a paratrooper in the Israeli army.
Oh my
come
God.
Over here. She has seven kids. Two of them she had 3 weeks ago. And she was out campaigning, 2 weeks ago.
She
was elected, and she won a solid victory. It wasn't one of these 1-2 vote victories. She won. We elected the town supervisor in North Hempstead. And again, this sounds like inside baseball, but it shows how this was a grassroots rebellion.
Real quick, we got to get to traffic in 20 seconds. Tell us what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show.
Well, first of all, Bernie and Evan. never know. But I'm sure we're going to be talking about the Jersey governor's race. Jack Cittarelli, that's an amazing race. And people should realize, everyone said that Murphy had a 9-point lead. He did. He was 50-41. And what did Murphy end up with? Barely 50. If you're the incumbent, that's your number. So any undecided voter is going to go against you. And you know, a lot of people didn't see that. Cittarelli ran a great race.
Absolutely. 5:57, stay tuned to the Bernie and Sid Show featuring Peter King at 6 o'clock. Let's get a look at traffic with Joe Nolan.
Well, a new accident. This is up on the Connecticut Turnpike, I-95 southbound in Bridgeport, exit 27A. An accident, car and a tractor trailer. Two lanes are out as you head southbound on the Connecticut Turnpike. Also delays inbound on the LIE from Utopia Parkway to Queens Boulevard with a tractor trailer car accident. Two lanes are closed. Also, you have delays on westbound 280 in New Jersey at exit 14 with a stall. The left lane is out. Now, mass transit, everybody's starting out the morning here in pretty good shape. They're on or close to schedule. And alternate side again today is suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Joseph Benedict Nolan, it has been a pleasure, as it always is.
Good to see you
tomorrow. Speaking with you. See you tomorrow. Yep. Again, for the marathon on Sunday, the weather looks nice. 55 degrees and a mix of sun and clouds. And the weekend is actually looking beautiful. One more thing. Somebody explain this to me. Pete Davidson, okay, of Saturday Night Live.
Don't look at me.
He has dated Kate Beckinsale. He has dated some of the most beautiful women in the world. Ariana Grande, he was engaged to. Phoebe DeNiver, or whatever her name is, from Bridgerton. Kaya Gerber, Cindy Crawford's daughter. Now he's dating, apparently, Kim Kardashian. Somebody explain this to me. Somebody.
Frank and I are probably the wrong guys.
What was that, Congressman?
I say Frank and I are probably the last guys to ask.
Look, I'm not saying the guy's a hideous man. I mean, he's fine, but he's kind of a lunatic.
Yeah, and all those tattoos and everything.
Oh, I love
it's
the tattoos.
It's a very
I'm okay
certain
with that.
Type of. You know what it is? It's it must
wrong
be
tattoos.
There's
Frank.
Something about Staten Islanders. We have an attraction.
Oh, geez.
It's like the Kavorka, the lure
Kevorkian?
Of the animal.
No,
oh, you can't help it. There's something about Staten Islanders. We just attract, you know, women like
they just throw themselves at you.
They do. It's a struggle.
Yeah, some of the most beautiful women in the world.
It's tough.
I don't. No offense, Pete. You're a lovely man, but he's kind of a mess. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
food.
Mentally. I don't know. But good
all
for
right.
you.
All right. The Bernie and Sid Show featuring Peter King is next. Juliet and I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.